Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Be Your Best Leadership Podcast. My name is Troy Jacobson, and we'll be walking through this journey together in terms of learning how to become more effective leaders. And I'll be inviting special guests to this podcast who are going to do a great job at telling us how they lead, their leadership concepts. So maybe you can glean some nuggets of wisdom and information and apply it to your own leadership needs. And today, my guest is Lacey Nijmeijer-John. I'm really happy to have her on the podcast because she'll be working with me. I'm really looking forward to having her work with our clients in terms of executive coaching and delivering training workshops and different things like that. So Lacey, welcome to the show.
Hi, Troy. Thanks not only for inviting me to be on the show today, but also being part of the team, and really looking forward to the conversation today.
Awesome. Well, thank you very much. So I want to get started with a little bit of your background, because you and I met at an event. And, you know, first of all, being an athlete myself for so many years, you know, I'm fascinated by anyone who is an athlete, especially elite athletes at your level. So tell us, don't be humble. Tell us a little bit about your background.
Well, Troy, like you and many others, I have a fascination with chlorine and I love the water. So from when probably my first memories, I was just always in the pool. The water is a magical place for me. And I also come from a very competitive background. So my grandpa, dad, aunts, uncles, they're all athletes, none of which are swimmers though. But found my love for the water and love for competition in the sport of swimming. And so I was swimming for ever since I can remember, and went through the recreational leagues and finally realized that I could potentially be a college athlete in high school, and really set my goal on trying to continue my sport past high school and to see what opportunities were for me. I landed here at the University of Arizona. I am a Wildcat. And during my time on the University of Arizona swim team, I was able to train with some of the best athletes in the world. And my game really elevated. And so I started making national teams after my freshman year and competed for Team USA for about 5 years. In which I was able to I was blessed to go to the Olympics in 2008, where as part of the 4x100 freestyle relay, we won a silver medal. And I also competed in the 100 freestyle individually, but didn't medal in that. Went on to continue swimming. I was also a national champion for the University of Arizona in the 100 and 200 freestyle, as well as many relay national championships. And my favorite award, in addition to all the medals, was actually being named the 2009 NCAA Woman of the Year, which is an award that not many people know. Oh, wow. But it looks at, you know, the holistic development of student athletes, and not only what you're able to do in your sports, but also what you're doing in your goals academically, as well as leadership and community service. And all of those areas are judged equally across all sports, all divisions, and they choose one winner every year. So to be named number one in 2009 was a huge honor and something that I greatly treasure.
Yeah, that's amazing. That's so awesome. Well, and just to get to the level of swimming on the Olympic team, not to mention all your other accolades, that's just so impressive. It takes so much discipline and focus to get to that level. So kudos to you. Now, I do have a question. You know, swimming, I was a triathlete, used to do that professionally a long time ago. Swimming was my worst leg. So just really quick, tell me, what is your biggest or best piece of advice for a triathlete who does not come from a swim background, but needs to be proficient in freestyle?
Mm-hmm. So the best advice that I can give anyone, and this goes for not only swimming in the pool, but also life, mm-hmm. is to streamline, right? Mm-hmm. Our bodies were made to be on the ground with gravity being vertical. Right. And to put it into a buoyant atmosphere like the water and to be horizontal requires you to shape your body in a way where you decrease drag. And every ounce of your energy needs to be propelling you forward. And streamlining from your fingertips to your toes is the best way to do that and to move your body efficiently through the water.
Okay. Yeah, I like that. That's good advice. I wish I would have gotten that advice 30 some years ago. I would have been. All right. Well, so I thank you so much for sharing that background. And again, you know, I love all the lessons that athletics teaches people. I mean, it's just an amazing thing. And any student athlete who is either in a team sport or more of an individual sport learns so much from that experience. And even though swimming is an individual sport in many ways, there's that team dynamic that's so important, right? You're all supporting each other. So I'm curious, you know, if you look at your background as an athlete and all the lessons learned about being on a team and being a contributor to a team, what do you take from those experiences that you can then apply to this the business world and, you know, leadership in general?
Right. So it's interesting coming from an individual sport like, you know, triathlon or swimming or any other individual sport and moving into a college environment, which is very team oriented, right? I will say that I struggled with that. And okay. I think a lot of people in business might struggle with that because it's easy to control yourself, right? Mm-hmm. I have my goals. I have my initiatives. I'm going to come in, get my work done. I'm going to do what's right for me and then move on. What I learned, especially being a college athlete, is that, you know, once you're doing it for you and by yourself, you get so far. But when we start working together and we create a culture of competing for something bigger than yourself, you find that your game is elevated, right? And the perfect example are relays. So oftentimes in my, especially international career, I would say I was specializing in relays. I was a relay swimmer for most of my time on Team USA. And I loved it. I loved being a part of a group of women, right, standing behind the blocks and each of us having our own individual contributions to the overall time. And oftentimes when you break those down, you see that people swim faster on relays than they do in their individual races. Now, there could be a lot of different factors that influence that, but I think one of the main ones is when you do something for someone else or for something bigger than yourself, it taps into an additional energy source where it's like, okay, I can grind through this a little bit harder, or I can, you know, push a little bit more because people are depending on me, or, you know, I really want to support those around me. And, you know, I go back to, you know, some of the early leadership lessons that I learned, which was, you know, in, on the pool deck. And one of our goal, one of our rules was honor your team with your effort. And okay. So it's easy to kind of sandbag a race or sandbag a hard practice when, you know, it's just you, but when you're doing it for someone else and you're honoring your team, that elevates your game to a whole new level.
Yeah, I hear you. I mean, it's almost like there's a level of accountability that you need to have for everyone else. And even though you're competing individually, there's this extra little bit of tension, I guess, or there's an integrity piece, right? Where you feel like if I'm not giving 100% in training, practice, and dry land, whatever you're doing, and then in the actual event itself, you're letting others down, right? And if you're the weakest link, so to speak, that could impact the overall result of the entire team. Yeah, it makes so much sense. And so in your feeling, in as you have entered, you know, the professional world and in this field of coaching, career coaching, and so forth, how does that team dynamic, that contribution to something bigger than yourself, how do you think that plays out? And what are some of the lessons that you've learned from your athletic background that you apply nowadays to your professional career?
Absolutely. And I think, you know, one thing that comes to mind as you're talking about that, Troy, is the word competition, where sometimes there's unhealthy competition and you create this cutthroat environment that most people associate with the word competition. Mm-hmm. But competition is actually a great thing. And depending on the environment that you're in and that you can create around you, healthy competition is fantastic for, you know, innovation and collaboration and, you know, growing a business or even growing a sports team, right? And I definitely was blessed to be a part of environments where there was healthy competition, where we were constantly pushing each other and there were elements of trust and, like you said, accountability and an overall love for what we do and camaraderie among the people that are doing it mm-hmm. that not only helped the individuals, but helped the overall group as well. And so, you know, I think that's one of the things that I love to take and love to relate from athletics to the business world.
Yeah, makes sense. And the your peers have such an influence on how you do, right? I mean, in a way, your peers have probably a bigger influence than actually the leader or the manager in the case of the business world because of that accountability and pressure you feel. So you also brought up, you know, we're talking about leadership. I mean, we're really focused on that element. So in your athletic experience, what was the impact of your quote unquote leaders and, you know, or coaches, you know, whatever you want to call them? They obviously developed a culture where everyone felt like they had to give 100%. They were part of a team dynamic. If you didn't want to let anybody down, you don't want to let your coach down, you don't want to let yourself down. What did they do effectively in that time frame that you can see others applying to the business context?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a great question. And, you know, I look at the setup of, you know, our successful team, and we were one of the very few programs across the country that won a men's and women's national championship in the same year.
Oh.
So it's a very hard thing to do in NCAA swimming and diving. And so for us to be able to win both in the same year, you look at the culture that was created because we trained together, men and women trained together, and we had many of the same coaches. And when you looked at our coaching staff, you know, we had our head coach, who was Frank Bush, and he was very, you know, driven and very clear on his expectations. But then he created it, but he knew that he wasn't perfect, right? He wouldn't be the perfect coach for every person. And so what he did is he empowered his assistant coaches to really run their own groups, and they filled in gaps. And so although none of them were the complete perfect coach for everyone, we all had our unique individuals that we could relate to, that could speak to us, that had, you know, the vision for how we could be better swimmers and better people. And I think that's that awareness as a leader is really important in creating that culture, is understanding your strengths, but also understanding your gaps and the humility and awareness to bring in others who might be able to fill those. And by doing so, you create this solid support of leadership for all your other employees or athletes.
Yeah, makes sense. Well, and an important element of that is getting the right assistant coaches, in the case of a swim team, on the team, right? You want to have the right people involved in the program. So that takes some talent right there to get the right people on the bus, so to speak, as we say in the business world. And then also you mentioned the word empowering them. So you get the right people on the bus, that then you have the opportunity to give them autonomy in building what they're building. And, you know, you have that trust factor and you know they're doing a good job. And that's a powerful combination. So, you know, a leader, a real strong leader, is somebody who does empower and give people that autonomy. I like that a lot. You also mentioned goals, because every leader has a vision for what their organization can do. And if you're a coach of a swim team, you have to have a vision that's articulated and communicated to everybody. Then everybody has to believe in that vision, right? It's the same thing. So tell us about that piece. I mean, how did everybody on your team, you mentioned the men's and women's team, both won. How did your coaches get everybody on the same page so there was a belief that you could win?
Yeah. And, you know, I'm sure it was not easy. It looked easy from our side, but I know that there was constant communication happening within the coaching staff. So they were all very close, although they were able to run their own group on their own. It was all part of a bigger picture, and they were aware enough of what was happening around them that each one of us could go to any coach and they would know exactly where we were at within our training and within like a bigger plan. So I think that communication within that executive team was important, but also there was communication with us as the athletes on a weekly basis. And I think that's important too, right? Is for leadership to communicate and be transparent with what is the direction and the goals for the work that we're doing. And everyone is able to kind of see that bigger picture, but also know that each of us play a unique role in that picture. And each piece of the puzzle is important in completing that vision and that communication and making people know and feel a part of something is equally important.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, I wrote down and circled the word transparent because that's so important for any team, right? To be transparent in that communication and in your goals. And then the other word I wrote down and circled, you mentioned that the executive team or the coaching staff in that case, in case of a sports team, there's an alignment there, right? They all need to know, they all are working in the same direction. They're all aligned, working towards the same goals, and then communicating with the rest of the team how they're doing in that progression towards the goal. And in many ways, that communication is just so important. It's almost like communicating on a consistent basis with an organization in a business context, mission, vision, and values. So everybody's continuously aligned. And I bet, and I'm kind of wondering, but I'm guessing that if somebody on your team wasn't really aligned with the goals and the objectives, they probably self-selected out, right? Or, you know, they probably weren't a really good team member. Would that be true?
Absolutely. And, you know, even from the recruiting standpoint, which is much like the hiring in business, right? Those goals are communicated and that culture is communicated from the very beginning. And people really know what they're getting into, you know, whether they're joining a sports team or they're joining a business, and making sure that that is part of the process so that those values, those mission, vision, and goals are communicated from the beginning and people can know where they best align.
Yeah. Communicated up front and then communicated over and over and over again. Yeah. So important. So, you know, as an athlete, obviously discipline's important. And one of the lessons that we teach in our workshops is that the first person you lead is you. And that's so important. How are you going to expect other people to follow you and follow your vision if, in fact, you don't do a good job of leading yourself? So discipline, self-awareness, you know, a lot of the work that you did, and coming from an athletic background, I know this for a fact, you probably did doubles a lot, early morning practices, afternoon practices, dry land work. I mean, there's so much that goes into the outcome that people see, you know, those couple minutes or less than a minute in the pool, right? How much work did you have to do to accomplish that incredible outcome? And people don't see that. That's all done basically, you know, that's your preparation, that's your training. So leading yourself first, how did you, as an athlete, as an elite athlete, get yourself so focused on doing the hard work when there wasn't a lot of hoopla around it or a lot of fanfare? You know, and saying, I know I need to do this hard work in order to get the result and the outcome. How did you do that?
Yeah, much like many endurance sports where the training season is very long and the competition season is very short. You know, we pretty much trained year round. And I would say that I knew from a very big, you know, very early on in swimming that your times are byproducts of little things, right? That end result is an accumulation of a lot of little itty bitty practices and habits that you reinforce stroke by stroke, day by day, flip turn by flip turn. And so when I think about, you know, how do we relate that to a, you know, business setting and leading ourselves first, it's really the habits and who we're developing as people, because we're the constant, whether we're in the meeting room, at the grocery store, home with our family, we are one being that then travels to each of these arenas. And if we're not whole and investing in ourselves, then we're never going to show up 100% in any of those spaces. And so where do we take that time to really invest and train inside so that we can perform, you know, externally? And when we were, you know, training, our coach would oftentimes take us aside and talk with us about our mental preparations for the sport. And he said, this is going to be the hardest part of your practice today. The mental preparations. I can ask you and go do, you know, 2 hours of straight repeats and you'll do it because that's the type of athlete that you are. Mm-hmm. But to spend 30 minutes thinking about, okay, how am I processing, you know, challenges or what are my thought patterns? That's the hard part. And that's the part where you're going to want to shy away from. And I think that's true in any setting, right? Because that's on us. And we are fully 100% accountable for that internal work.
Yeah. Yeah, you become your habits, right? I mean, ultimately, the little things that you do on a regular basis define who you become. So in the business context, if you want to be an effective leader, you have to do the little things every day that lend themselves to you becoming that effective leader. You know, in swimming, you know, technique is so important, right? I mean, there's the physical fitness piece and the VO2 max and, you know, your strength and all those components. But ultimately, if you don't have that feel for the water, and you had mentioned streamlining earlier, you know, that's the difference in many cases between getting the gold or not even being on the podium. So in the triathlon coaching world, we always had a saying, skill and technique first. And then on top of that, your fitness builds. And I know for a fact, even elite athletes continue to focus on the fundamentals. We do, you know, you do a lot of drills, right? Whatever kind of stroke drills there are, you'll do them on a regular basis in some point in the practice to reinforce that technique and that feel for the water and that streamline. And so I'm curious, what's your thought around, well, first of all, how did you apply that to your swimming career? But then what's the translation to that concept of skill and technique first, you know, the fundamentals of being a stronger leader?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it all comes down to, you know, stress and stressful environments. So when you think of swimming, the first lap in any race, I don't care how long you're going, is the easiest. It always feels good. The first 25 yards or 25 meters always feels great. It's the last 25 meters that of any distance that's going to kick your rear end. And yeah. So, you know, it's all about efficiency and how can you maximize your efficiency? And so when you think of those moments when things don't go right, you know, you had a face down moment, whether it's in the boardroom or in your year end reports, whatever it is, you know, those are moments where it's like, okay, I'm in a friction point. How do I handle this and keep myself moving forward? Well, you're right. Like you said, Troy, you go back to the basics. How did I get here in the first place? And where are those things that I know that I have a strength in and that I need to lean into to move forward through this, you know, hard time or, you know, end of the race, right? And it's when you focus on those fundamentals, it keeps you composed as a leader, right? And we see this all the time, especially in basketball, right? We just watched March Madness. And a lot of those close games came down to the wire. And when you saw teams that were under pressure and they were pointing fingers at each other, they were angry, they get flustered, they make stupid mistakes that they wouldn't normally make, those weren't the teams that usually won the game, right? It was the teams that could focus, stay composed, go back to what moves them forward, their fundamentals, and they kept it simple. And they're able to kind of move through that hard time, accomplishing, you know, great things, not by, you know, enormous superhuman feats, but just by going back to what they know works and what their strengths were. So I think you can apply that into the business setting as well.
Yeah, I think so. Skill development and sticking to the fundamentals. Yeah, that's so important. You know, you mentioned you brought the word adversity. And so in athletics, part of the game is dealing with adversity. I know in my career as an Ironman athlete, you know, it's a long day. You know, it's a long process preparing for that type of event. And as any athlete knows, you're always dealing with adversity in terms of how you feel, how your training's going, maybe an injury every once in a while, or maybe an event didn't go well for you, and that's a hit on your psychology. So you're always dealing with adversity, and that certainly translates into the business world as well. You know, there's all these unknowns that are out of your control, and some are within your control, but you're always dealing with adversity. So what's a lesson that you've learned over your years as an athlete in terms of pushing through some of those tough spots?
Yeah, it reminds me of a time when I was at the Olympic trials for 2008 and swam my first event at the meet. I swam three events. First one was the 200 freestyle, which was one of my better events, and I was had a really great shot of making the team. Long story short, I went through prelims, I went through semis, and I didn't even make the finals. I was off on my time. It was my first race, so I was having all these doubts. And I went to my coach and said, what did I do wrong? Like, I thought I had prepared, you know, perfectly for this. And he shook his head like, I don't know. You know, things just happen. And there are, you know, things you can control and there are things you can't control. But what you can always control is your attitude and your effort, right? And there's the quote, right? You can't control what happens to you, but you can always control what you do in response to what happens to you. And I think that's absolutely right. As a leader, you know, you're going to get thrown curveballs, but how do you stay composed? How do you stay focused on moving the company or moving that conversation forward? And knowing that attitude and effort are always in your control from the moment you get out of bed to the moment you get back in bed. Yep. And leaning into, again, those fundamentals that can keep you composed and focused on really what those controllables are.
Yeah. And I love the translation that happens between athletics and business. I mean, they're so clear. It's just amazing, right? I love that. Well, thanks for that. That's some great information and great insight. So tell us a little bit about what your why. Like, why is this work that you're going to be doing in terms of leadership training and in coaching, career coaching, why does this get you excited? Because I know you are. I know you're so excited about doing all this. And so tell us, why does it connect with you so much?
Yes. Well, I am really excited for this work. I think I've always been interested and drawn to people who want to be the best in what they do, right? And, you know, oftentimes we look at how do we define success, and in swimming, it's success comes when you are able to perform the best in the history of your body, right? And that's how you can define success. And I look at that in our careers, and I know that people are searching. I know that this is an arena that is common to a lot of us, and we want to be successful. We want to find what does success look like in our space. And I come from an athletic background where I know that as we develop as people, we perform better in our work, in our relationships, in every other facet of our lives. And so being able to provide leadership training and one-on-one coaching with individuals as well as groups, we can do our part in helping people build those foundational skills to be successful in every facet of what they do and building that confidence to grow as leaders and as professionals.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, I'm so excited about having you involved and for you to start helping build the community, because as I know we've talked about it, being stronger leaders has such an influence on so many people. I mean, when you're a leader, you influence everyone around you, and that influence is pervasive, and it literally can lend to the community being stronger as a whole. So there's so much value. So, well, thank you for joining me on this podcast. And if anybody is interested in learning more. We'll have more of these leadership training podcasts, Be Your Best. So I'm hoping you come back and join us for more information. And if you have any questions or you would like to learn more about the coaching and other services that we offer, please reach out to us. Thanks and have a great day.
Bye, everyone. Thank you.